Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yes.
We are back.
Oh my God.
OMG, you've changed.
Michael, thank you very much.
That wasn't a compliment.
It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Yeah.
I've had plastic surgery. Should I take the mustache off?
Have you seen Better Call Saul?
No.
you look like Saul Goodman.
Is he the solicitor dude?
Yeah.
Is he not baldy? Shit.
Maybe we should start again.
Oh, fuck. Do I look like him? Oh, shit. You know when you think you look like someone else and then someone points something out to you, you're like, oh, shit, is that what I look like?
No, he's not bald, is he? Because he's got a hairpiece.
Oh, but has he got a receding hairline?
Yeah, I'm not saying you've got a receding hairline.
That's
I'm
exactly saying what you're saying. That's exactly what
I'm saying. No, I'm saying you're really, really attractive. But where the fuck did you get that moustache from?
I got it in a lucky bag. I'll tell you what, Mike, let's get straight into it.
I know what you went to, and you looked like it was a French evening thing or something. French.
It was the premiere of Downton Abbey.
Oh, fuck you.
Downton Abbey, the second movie of Downton Abbey. We know from this podcast that I don't watch Downton Abbey.
Yes.
It's my wife's thing. But I went along because it was on in a very nice cinema in Rathmines called The Stella. It's very, very comfortable. It's the type of cinema you go to. They'll bring you drinks to your table. They'll serve you can order food. They'll bring down some chips. Yeah, they've got it's proper armchairs. Nice. You can sink into. They've got footstools. You can put your feet up. In between each seat, there's a little round table with a lamp, and you can put your popcorn up there. And it's the most comfortable place, not just cinema in the world, it's the most comfortable place in the world.
I'm finding myself sort of becoming anxious about the whole fact that people can have a little table and you got a little light, you say, and you can eat your food and whatever.
Yeah,
I'm there to watch a fucking film.
You don't even notice, that becomes irrelevant after. Like, initially you kind of think this is a bit weird, like it's very open, almost like a cocktail bar sort of setting, but after a while everyone else just fades into the background. The screen is really good, really big, so it's like all the seating is so low down that there's nobody in your way. The way it's set, it's not like the person in front of you can't see them eating their chips or whatever they're doing. And actually, the backs of their chairs are so high that they're sunk down into it. You can't even see anything. It's very private. You could be canoodling.
Did you canoodle?
Not at the premiere of Downton Abbey because I was on my own.
No, you didn't even take Suzanne.
No.
You fucker. Why not? That's terrible.
Because it was, I got it through... Mandy, who's my agent for all things social media, and she was like, look, we're going, we've got a spare ticket if you want to come. And I was like, oh yeah, cool, I'll go along
because
I like the Stella, and I'll bring Suzanne. another day to
Willing your ass. You have the best intentions of doing stuff. I'll bring Suzanne. Yeah, yeah. And then it'll be, Suzanne, would you mind going along? I've got to take a view and some of the girls to go and see this. and then you'll be sitting around playing football and then realize you should be running a marathon. But that's just the life according to Keith. So how was the movie?
It was good. Like it's ridiculous. Like the whole premise of it was ridiculous. The story, the plot lines were ridiculous. Yeah. The resolution of the plot lines were, but it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, but Downton Abbey, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, some good.
And it should continue. Yeah, it should be. It's brilliant.
Some really good gags, some really good comedy characters. And
is the Irish fella still in it?
Yeah. I met him afterwards briefly.
I
got a photograph with him, but I didn't actually meet him. I didn't talk to him. It was just like, oh, I was with a bunch of people that I work with, and they were like, oh, come on in here. We're getting a picture with Alan or whatever his name is. So I stuck my head in, and then we got a picture, and then that was it. They all said hello to him, and I was too cool.
Yeah,
and I looked ridiculous. I was like, I don't want them to see me like this. Oh, yeah, anyway. So the point of the thing was I went in costume because it was like the theme of the evening was Riviera, French Riviera. So I wore a stripy top and rolled up chinos and no socks. And I had to put fake tan on my ankles. My ankles were so white, I had to tan them up.
Because Sally Ann showed me, I only do Twitter. So Sally Ann showed me this Instagram and she said, he's gone French Riviera. He looks like a cunt.
It was the dress code cunt.
Oh,
do you not know that? Do you not know that town in the south of France? Cunt.
Le Comte.
It's beside Nice. Cunt. Who le cunt?
I just expected you to be like, it was real, like a load of things around garlic around your onions.
I was cycling a big sort of high Nelly style bike and a string of garlic around my neck. Yeah. But you know, it was life's short, Mike, and I don't give a shit.
No, pretty obvious by what you. I can't believe that you went without poor Suzanne because that is her gig. I know, I understand that, you know, there's only one ticket, but could you not have given it to her, or it's all about you?
It's all about me. Like even when we went in, there's a red carpet, and there's Mike is dying. He's lost it.
Fucking more about that later.
Oh Jesus! I'm just glad you're still with us, Mike. when you go in, there's like a red carpet area, and there's a photographer there from the press take photographs. And I was like standing in line to have my photograph taken by the guy from the press. And this woman came up to you. You can go around that way if you don't want your photograph taken. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to get my photograph taken.
She don't know who I am.
She didn't need me to get my photograph taken. Nobody did. But Marty Whelan was in the line behind me. And I was sitting beside...
Marty, hello, Marty.
Sitting beside Marty, I met his lovely wife and his daughter. And
he took the whole fucking family.
Well, he's more famous. So he gets three tickets. I just get one. That's how it goes on the fame thing. Marty was probably the most famous person there, I'd say. I had a good chat with Marty. I like my life, Mike, now that I'm not drinking and I just can drive up to Rathmines, go to the cinema, do a dress ridiculously, jump in the car and drive home, and then, you know, back to reality and normality, you know.
Yeah, that sounds smug.
Yeah. Hey man, I've worked hard to get to this level.
I hate my life.
Oh Mike, you're drinking the orange squash. Is that are you trying to keep hydrated?
I'm trying to keep hydrated. I have been ill.
Mm. So Mike had the COVID, listeners. Like, and you had the bad COVID.
The COVID, as my mother would call it. I had the COVID.
Is this your was this your second bout?
No, this is my first. I managed to dodge it for 2 fucking years. And I was one of those idiots who still wore a mask. I still wear a mask going into shops. I still wear a mask going everywhere. When I was briefly working in my new job, which I don't briefly work at anymore, but the less said about that, the better. I wore a mask, and I got a what could only be described as a bit of a bang of the old COVID. Yeah.
Describe, like, were you laid low? Were you flat out? Did you have to take to the bed?
Well, it's funny because you, and I'm sure people are very sick of listening to people's COVID stories.
No.
I had what I thought was hay fever. I get hay fever this time of the year when the willow's out and it's been dry and lovely and everything's been gorgeous and the weather was lovely and everything was flowering and I was out in the garden doing a bit of mowing and stuff and I came back and I had the whole sort of my nose and mouth area just go dry and my eyes go a little bit itchy. So I think, okay, I need to up my antihistamines and blah, blah, blah. And that went on for 2 days. So it started on a Monday evening, Tuesday. Wednesday, I thought, ooh, little bit of a dicky throat. Thought, oh, just a literally tiny bit, like, you know, like you wouldn't even pay any attention to pre-COVID. So I thought, oh, I'll have a little test. So I took a test, nothing whatsoever. Thursday, we were going out for the day, myself, Sally Ann, and my niece in the car all day with the three of them. We weren't wearing masks in the car, but everywhere else we went, we wore masks. And I tested before we went because I said, I've still got a little bit of a sore throat, but all the flu-y symptoms have gone at this stage. And nothing whatsoever. Got up on the Friday morning, felt a little bit more odd is the only way I could say. I was smelling things and you'd really have to work on smelling. So I kind of was like sniffing my underarm going, can I smell the deodorant? And then all of a sudden it would whack it, you know, hit you. And you can get this kind of a woo, and you get this real intense smell. And everything was really intense. And I thought, oh shit, here we go. It's probably COVID.
Took either COVID or you've taken acid.
Acid is right. So I took the test, and bearing in mind all the time it had taken, you know, obviously the tests were all the same or whatever. But this literally the drop hit. And the line went across, and the other line went across. Yeah, it was like, so I was like, oh shit, now I have to fucking live. So I had to live in the front room for however many days, because you take it that the first onset of the COVID is, or your thing is day zero. And then you've got to do 7 days full isolation and then three of not so full isolation. But day five and six, I was absolutely fucked. Like, I kept dropping things. I couldn't work out how to turn the television off at one point. I kept, anytime I'd pick anything up, I'd fucking drop it. It was just, oh, hand-eye coordination gone, brain fuzz gone, and everything smelt of smoke on day five. Everything, you know, when you get your chimney swept, I don't know if you've, and you walk into the house afterwards, there's a smell of smoke in the house. That's what it smelled like. The whole world smelled of smoke. So I was like, fucking hell, everything's really smoky. There's something on fire. And I was convinced something was on fire somewhere. And there was no fire lit in the house or whatever. The next day, I was coughing and the snot was coming out and whatever. And everything smelt sweet.
Wow.
But it was the most ridiculous, because Sally Ann's going to me, is it like the soap that's sweet? Is it this? Is sweet? No. I'm going, everything smells sweet.
The world. Well, every time, if you inhaled through your nose, it was a sweetness.
Sweet smell. Yeah, everything was sweet. It was bizarre, which puts you off your food. Because, like, I don't want anything now. Because you feel like you've just had an ice cream or something. You know what I mean? It's just kind of,
yeah.
Everything. I went out to walk the dog around the garden because you could, you know, because we live here in the middle of nowhere. So I could just, when everybody was out of the house, actually Jimmy got COVID exactly the same time as me. And he was about a day behind me getting it and a day ahead of me coming out of it. But I'm still fucked, like tired and nose and everything, just fucked and brain freezy. And sort of, you go upstairs and you take the dog around the garden, you're fucked. Yeah.
And where are you at now? How many days? Like when did you?
I'm on day 13.
Okay. Now. Fucking hell, Mike.
Yeah. So I mean, but it's been the aftermath. Actually, during the whole thing, the cough and everything, the cough was bad and the snotty nose was bad. It was just like having a cold. But it's afterwards, the tiredness. You hear people talking about it all the time and you kind of think, oh, fucking idiot. shit.
Well, actually, that's a good point, because, like, I think we've all become quite blasé about it.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, almost with the passage of time, looking back and it going, like, was it really that bad? Like,
I seem
to have made a big fuss over nothing. But, Mike, I'm just glad you're with us, because I know of people who have died in recent days from COVID with underlying conditions. But yeah, it's still there and it's still bad and it's still, and people with, and long COVID now seems to be the thing, you know, that people are talking about, people who still haven't gotten it, who got it, and, you know, a year ago or whatever, and still haven't sort of like gotten back to where they were. So, as I said, we'd become quite blasé about it.
I just before I came on here, I was down at the local supermarket. No one wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Absolutely nobody. Amazing, you know, and I just think, and I was one of those fucking idiots. People are actually taking the piss out of me for wearing a mask. You know what I mean? What are you wearing that for? What do you think you're going to get COVID? It's like, fuck, yes, I do. And I fucking did.
Well, Mike, can we remember as well that you wear the mask so you don't pass COVID on if you have it? It's
exactly.
It's because you're thinking of other people. It's not a selfish act.
But there is a selfish act to it as well. I think we all kind of said at the beginning, oh, yeah, it's to stop old people getting it. It really isn't to stop me fucking getting it. And that's kind of, latterly, I've been wearing it to sort of, because I see people coughing and spluttering and going on big nights out, and they're all on the fucking lashes. Thousands of people, you know, we were out last night, the house party was fantastic, and I'm going, somebody there is going to be sick, and I'm going to get it. And I just saw loads of people recently with COVID. It was everywhere over Easter.
Yeah.
And I didn't put myself in harm's way.
I went to a thing, a thing in a bar, and I was talking to a guy who's kind of a, I don't know, anytime I see him, you know, and maybe I was this person once, but he's like, he gets quite like, you know, drunky, like, you know, he likes the pints and, you know.
Talking shite,
but in your face, you know, like, and it was the first time I'd experienced in a long time where actual his spittle was landing on my face.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this can't be happening. This is not real. Like, Jesus Christ. And I was just like, I'm getting out of here. Like, his spit landed on my face.
I know. Yeah.
I don't even think I pretended he didn't do it. I'm pretty sure I just wiped it with my forearm straight away and just went, holy. I don't even think he fucking noticed anyway. No,
of course he didn't. He shit faced. But that's okay. If you're the wrong side of a couple of scoops as well, you kind of graze all over that stuff. Yeah. Oh, I was great, Greg. Oh, wonderful. You were great, Greg. Yeah.
Mike, it's great that you're with us, and that you're, are you getting, do you feel like you're getting better? There's hope. Is there light at the end of the tunnel, the COVID tunnel?
There is, but I'm really, really tired. Like, I've got to go. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not as fortunate. Some people have passed over to the other side recently. A friend of mine and a mutual friend of ours actually has passed over to the other side, all tricky. You feel kind of silly having this flu when other people are in all sorts of terrible times and going through wars and death and whatever. You know, it's just, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's all relative as well, Mike.
It is relative.
You've still got to get through your day, you know. And are you going to try and make it to that? You're going to try and get up and get out and get to that funeral? Yes,
I'm going to get to Richard. Richard was a friend of mine who you would have known as well, obviously, through juries in Kensington. Richard O'Sullivan, he was the financial controller over there. I actually remember when he first came to the hotel, because it was Jury's Hotel in London, and it was the home of the Irish. I know we've spoken about it before, but, you know, it was like everybody was coming in and they were booking sort of people from RTE to come in. I'm sure that was the old version of, you know, booking people to go to the cinema on a Tuesday evening and get the picture taken with somebody from Downton. It was like to get somebody from the Irish press over to see somebody kind of famous in Jury's. And it was all really kind of circuitous routes of sort of, you know, your man is coming in or your woman is coming in. And anybody who was coming over from Jury's, they were like, they're coming over from head office, lads. We better. And Richard O'Sullivan was coming in, and he's coming over to be the financial controller. And it was like, oh, fucking hell. We better sweep the steps. We better make sure the brass is this. We better
do the brass.
Sure. Yeah,
my favorite job, Mike. My favorite job, doing the brass, with an old pillowcase.
Do the windows. Make sure there's no smudges on the stuff. And you know, the managing director Peter Malone had been over the week before and said, "Listen, Richard's coming. You need to look after him. He was a big deal for us to come in and get him. He was massive, and he's been in juries in Balls Bridge, and he's oh fucking." And I was expecting this fucking psycho to come through the door, you know, it's sort of like literally a team of accountants, and it was going to be like something out of like a hitman coming in the door, you know. And in comes this fella, medium sized, stocky, kind of, you know, bit of an attitude. And I said, and I didn't realize who he was when he walked in the door, and it just a little roller case behind him said, "Can I take you back to your room for you?" No, you fucking can't. I said, "Can I show you to your room?" No, I'll find the fucking thing. I said, "My name's Mike. I'll be here, you know." And he said, "I'm Richard O'Sullivan. I'm going to be living here for a while. I'm coming over to do the accounts," kind of thing. And I thought, okay. I said, "Listen, let me take the bag up and I'll show you to the room, whatever." And they put on this nice room for him and everything, but we were full. So get him up to the room. And I said, "I'll just show you around." He says, "Well, listen," he says, "it's not that fucking difficult. There's a bathroom in there and there's a fucking television. I think I'll find my way around." I said, "I think you'll find that television's fucking broken." And that was my first interaction with him. And he just went, "Ah, for fuck's sake." And I, you know, and then he gave me a pound tip and I tried to give it back to him. And for weeks afterwards, when we go out for beer or whatever, I would try and give him this pound back because I was so mortified. But we came the best of buddies. And ironically, his thing was TV and film. I mean, he went on to become a screenwriter and, you know, studied it in Los Angeles and whatever. And and TV was his big watch fucking television in his room for 3 months because anything that broke went into his. There was no kettle. There was nothing. It was like salvaging anything that came out of
if something
room.
Broke, take it out of his room.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, yeah. I think he was in a twin, and one of the beds went missing one day. Yeah. So here's to Tricky. He leaves behind the lovely Kira, his beautiful wife, of course, who was the head. She was HR at the time.
Yeah.
She employed everyone, and the three lovely daughters: Emily, Victoria, and Rachel. Very sad.
Very sad. Yeah. And I remember Richard. I wouldn't have had much dealings with him, but I would have had much more dealings with Kira. And she was lovely. I mean, both lovely people. But yeah, very sad. Jesus, Mike.
Very sad. And when he used to get drunk, which he did quite frequently, we would go down to the Anglesey Arms. And if anybody would start singing, he'd be in because he knew he lived. He was from Kildare. So every time he got drunk, he'd always mentioned, fucking hell, that fella on the right, Ray Darcy.
Ray Darcy, yeah.
I was in the FCA with Ray Darcy. That's all he'd say. And then the more pissed he'd get, the more of an American accent he'd get. "I was in the FCA, like some southern black bell, with Ray Darcy from Kildare."
Because he was actually... from Newbridge.
He was actually born in he was born in Carnarvon in Limerick.
Okay. But spent some time in Newbridge.
Yeah, I think his father was the head of the racing board.
Okay.
So the current
would make sense. Yeah.
Horsey. Yeah, Tricky wouldn't he wouldn't know what to do with a fucking horse though. He would yeah, put the money on this and be fucking donkeys.
Well, listen, you know, yes. Rest in peace, Richard.
Absolutely, yeah. What a gentleman. Yeah. So what have we been up to, I suppose?
It's been a while, hasn't it, Mike?
It's been a month.
It's been too
long. I was thinking it was embarrassingly long time.
But Mike, the thing I love about this is that we'll always get to it. It's always there for us.
Yes.
You know, life will go on and we can always check in and do a podcast and there's no pressure. There's nobody saying we have to do it, except people writing to you and saying, "When's you know, but I'm okay with that because they're not writing to me.
Funny enough, yesterday I had a text from a guy saying, best of luck in the new job. I just heard the latest podcast. And I was like, thanks, but I actually left that. We parted the ways. So, yeah, more on that story as it develops.
As it develops,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm now not doing anything at all.
You're now a lady of leisure.
Very much a lady of leisure, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's just as well, because I don't think I would have been able to do anything.
You would have been off anyway.
I would have been off, yeah, mm. with the old COVID situation. I would have been, yeah.
I was going to say, like, what have you been up to? But you've told me you've basically been up to nothing apart from the big dramas that we can't really talk about, because you know, we did mention all that kind of stuff, and it's you've parted ways, and maybe it'll be in the book. It'll be in the book, Mike.
Well, there you go. I tried to fucking write a short story
mm-hmm.
for the RTE thing.
Yeah.
And I had one in the bank, and I thought, I'll sit down and edit it. Could I edit it? I couldn't even fucking read it. I got to the first paragraph about six times, and I thought, no, this is just, I'm going to fuck this computer out the window now. It was just, I could not concentrate.
Yeah.
I couldn't write, couldn't think. I thought, I'm going to make a dog's dinner of this now. So I might do that actually over the next week or so. Just, it would only take an hour just to sit down, edit, and send it off, you know, and top and tail it.
Really. Unless you write something completely new about your COVID experience. 7 days on the mattress. Yeah. People, you'll have to excuse Mike's coughing, but he's pretty ill, so don't be too hard on him.
On the fucking mattress, the fucking cat's dancing on my testicles at 6 o'clock in the morning as well. Oh.
That's a well-known COVID cure. If you can get the cat to dance in your testicles at 6 a.m., you'll be right by 12.
If you got no sleep.
To get the cat to lick your forehead.
Fucking couldn't sleep. I just...
And is it sick, like when you're that sick that you're almost like hallucinating weird dreams and all that kind of shit, half asleep, half away kind of...
Real anxiety dreams.
Mm.
I had a dream one night that everything in my life, there was a list of my life, and everything began with the two letters, double D, and I can still see it in my head. And I dream in color because it was on a reddish piece of paper. There was a margin to the line and it was red. And it was like DD 4296. And I couldn't work out what the DD was. Somebody out there now in podcast land will work out what DD meant, but I have literally no idea. And I literally couldn't. And I woke up, the cat jumped on my testicles. I threw the cat out through the window and then went back to sleep and still carried on with the same anxiety, the same DD.
So it was a list of things in your life that you needed to do, was it? But you couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then something had happened on my bank account and somebody had taken some money out of it. So in the middle of everything, I was checking my bank balance going, oh, what the fuck? Whoa, 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 whoa. So it took me 2 days to get my shit together enough that I could write down stuff and ring a company to say, listen, well, I don't know what's going on here, but don't be taking any money out of my account. Thank you very much. And it took it out of my credit card. And it was really odd. But I'd seen this late at night. And then I'd remembered that I hadn't checked another bank account. So I was like, oh, no, I need to remember the PIN. And I was like, oh, fuck, I can't remember the PIN. And all 2 days, all that was in my head was the PIN of this account. And it was wrong. And I was like, it was like a mantra in my head going, you know, 5, 6, 1, 2, 4, 9, 5, 6, 2, 4, 5, 6, 1. And every time, every waking moment, it filled my head. And that was like when I was awake and asleep. It was just fucking bizarre.
Jesus, Mike. Yeah, I used to have those dreams, especially working. Sometimes I'd have them when I was working in juries. If I did the late shift and I was on early in the morning, you know the way that weird sleep, if you're working till 11 and then you're trying to get sleep, and you do get sleep and it's like, but you're still like, your head is still gone. So you're just you're still in work. You're dreaming about work. Like, you know, you're dreaming that you've fallen asleep on the counter of the concierge desk or whatever, you know, and you're supposed to be helping people, but you're just like, you know, you're just like asleep in the foyer, you know, in a sleeping bag or whatever. But those are kind of, I have a recurring dream that I have where I've gone back into radio and the first broadcast is due and I arrive into the room to do the show and it's just a desk. Like there's no buttons or microphones, just like literally a desk, not a sound desk, a desk, you know,
a wooden
and
desk.
There's no microphones and there's buttons. And I'm like trying to do the show with nothing. And I don't even know what I'm supposed to be saying. And I don't even know what radio station I'm working for. And that's
pure anxiety, isn't it?
That's my recurring dream at the moment. Kind of like the Leaving Cert dream that people have, you know, that you're doing your Leaving Cert, but there's no paper, you've no pen, your pen isn't working, whatever.
But it's funny, my superpower, if I ever had one, was being able to sleep. And not, I never dwelt on any of that. The 11 o'clock shift finished.
Like, really? Yeah. Really, yeah?
Yeah. Would never dwell on anything. But only over the last month, my anxiety levels, and I think that helped with the COVID situation. I think everything hit was the perfect storm for my body just to get whacked.
Do you reckon your immune system was like...
Yes.
The force field was down.
Yeah.
Momentarily. There was a glimpse and it just got in there.
Yeah.
Fucking
bastard. That's what it felt like.
Fuck you, COVID.
Fuck you, COVID. And speaking of force fields, we've got to do some
check it out.
What
is it all about? Do you want to go first? Because I know we've both.
I have a list. I have like, because I've had COVID, I have had an awful lot of time to watch television and I binged the bejesus. The one thing that surprised me, I binged the bejesus out of most, was Star Trek Picard.
Okay.
Amazon.
Okay, I have not. I'm not really a Trekkie.
No, I understand that.
But this, you know, but sell it to me.
This the acting in this is superb. It's all based on the Next Generation sort of stuff. It's years on from Star Trek: The Next Generation, and he's become a sort of admiral in the fleet now and whatever. And he's an old retired man and he's got a sort of vineyard in France, as in Jean-Luc Picard. That's where he came from. And the story starts there and it just kind of takes off and hits another level. And it's got everything that a sci-fi person would want. It's got those cool ships. It's got the really good cast. It's got really, really good actors. And it also fucks around with time. And that's the best bit of Star Trek, when they start messing around with time and it's these paradoxes and whatever. And if you do this to the timeline and whatever, couldn't recommend it highly enough. I started watching it at 6 o'clock one evening and finished it at 1 o'clock the next morning. It was like bang.
No way.
Job
like
done.
Proper binge.
First time I've ever really, really bunged. Is that the past tense?
Yeah.
Bunged on anything. It was just, it was like heroin. I even gave up The Last Kingdom to watch it.
Okay. So you took a break from binging on something else to properly binge on it. But this was during your sojourn on the mattress.
Yeah.
Mattress days. Mattress Mick, we call you. First recommendation, Star Trek.
Yeah, and then I started looking at other Star Treks, and there's a new one. There's another one called Star Trek Discovery, which is equally as good.
Okay. The Picard one, is it like... Is it less ship based then? Because my knowledge of Star Trek is like it opens up and they're heading somewhere on the ship and then they need to do something and something happens to somebody, so they have to help them and then they get beamed down somewhere and then that's a different land and everyone's naked and
women are in charge generally.
Yeah. And we're like, how can we make what about a world that's totally fucked up? What if we did a world where the women were in charge? No. Too unbelievable. Okay, yeah, it is sci-fi. Let's try it.
Those were all formulaic. These ones aren't that formulaic. But it's much more of a story.
If he came from, like, he grew up on a vineyard in France. Is that what you're saying, or is that where he retired to, or whatever?
And that's where he retired to. Exactly, he grew up there and retired there, and it's all about that.
And so, like, interrupting you. Like, is he like just out in the vineyard, like doing shit, and then he goes, oh, I have to go into work, like drives to the local station to jump on a spaceship to go to another galaxy.
No, he gets beamed to places.
Okay.
it's easy.
Does he have a special bean machine in the vineyard house?
No, nowadays you don't have to stand on the thing anymore. You don't have to stand there. It's not like Kirk.
Oh, you can just get beamed.
As long as you've got a thing on your chest.
Could he be on the jacks and then they beam him up? And he's like, fuck's sake, lads, I was having a shit.
Imagine if he's just about to do a big shit.
Just mid-shit.
He's in the squatting, and then you fall because there's no toilet, of course. There won't be in the toilet, so he would just come in the squatting position and fall into his own shit.
Oh, not again.
Yeah, that's the Picard I want to see.
So, but does he get beamed up to do, because there's something going on, we need Picard, so he just gets beamed up. Does he know he's getting beamed up? Does he get advanced warning, or is he just like,
yeah, he'll get, they've got communication like phones, like, you know, that sort of thing.
It's not like, so he get a text. Are you Sunday, we're gonna, are you free to spend a bit of time on a ship?
He's an old retired captain, so they've made him an admiral and they sort of bring him up for big things and whatever, and all of a sudden something kicks off at one of those events.
Okay.
Or somebody pulls him aside and said, listen, we've got a little trek for you. Do you want to go out to Venus for the afternoon or whatever? Because they can do that now. And they just go, yeah, okay, fine. And then all of a sudden...
Some shit goes down and he has to... Down. And they need him to sort it out. Just handy he was there.
Very much so. And there's this entity called Q, is it, who is an omnipotent, because actually Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, it's all Earth-based, you know, so you've got various sort of species who are based on sort of races, if you like, on planet Earth, very loosely, but you can kind of see it, you know. It's like Lord of the Rings is based on the First World War. This is based on sort of interracial stuff that was happening in the 60s in America.
Sorry, Lord of the Rings is based on the First World War?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go back and watch that again.
Yeah, they're all based on the wars, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
so, carry on. just writing that down.
So lots of them are. Lots of these sort of sci-fi things are based on wars and, you know, and who does what. And there's always the dodgy one, the Hitler. There's always the good one. And there's always a fight for whatever. And they're trying to drag the dwarfs in, who might be the Americans, come in a bit late. And whoever, you know, that sort of thing. Anywho, in Star Trek, it's all sort of, it's all based on humanity. But there's this omnipotent being called Q, who is everywhere and can do anything and everything at the click of his fingers. And the very first Star Trek back in 95, 96, maybe earlier, Star Trek Next Generation, was Q putting humanity on trial because they were so barbaric. And it was the first two-parter, it was the opening. And Jean-Luc Picard was the man who stood up for humanity and said, we might be flawed, we might be this, we might be the other, but we are who we are. And, you know, you can't judge us, Q. And Q is obviously a sort of a deity, so you could call him the God figure. Mm. But he comes back into Picard and he's dying. So God is dying and he wants to put humanity on trial again. So he starts fucking up with the timeline. It's fascinating.
Wow.
Fascinating, yeah.
Nice one. Okay, well, I'm going to check that out.
Check
it out. What's it all about? This is like a bumper check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. We probably haven't got time because you've got people around for dinner, haven't you?
Oh, that's okay. I don't know if they're here yet. Maybe they walked. Don't see a car outside. We should talk about the Last Kingdom.
Oh. Yeah, you put me onto it, and my brother put me onto it, actually. I'm pointing at you now. And when I said to my brother that Keith had said it was worth a watch, my brother had said to me, yeah, it's really worth a watch. He said, and I've watched it and binged on it. But the only problem was, he said, you'll never guess who recommended it to him, as in who recommended. My brother heard a recommendation on the radio. And I said, who? And he said, it was Ronan Keating. I would never have watched it. But good old Ro.
Come on, Ro. Yeah,
good man, Ro. Yeah.
The Last Kingdom, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't know anything really about the Viking Saxon wars. I didn't really know much about that period. It is about a time in what we'll call England. It wasn't England at the time. Yes, it was like Mercia and London and all these.
It was really odd names. Yeah, like but some of the places are like real shitholes. Like, you know, like Shoreditch.
Or like places that are that are irrelevant now, but like at the time,
Runcorn.
Like, yeah, like some fucking back arse of nowhere place, which was like which had a castle, but. And then you had like, you know, like Scotland, Wales, like they were proper kingdoms. And then there was sort of England was broken into different countries, basically. Yeah. And the Vikings kept wanting to take. Well, basically, it was almost a Danish colony, wasn't it? Danish
probably. Enclave. Yeah. I mean, it was they were coming down, raiding, taking bits, living in peace for a little while, and then somebody would get the arse with somebody, and somebody would cut someone's head off by mistake, like, fuck! And then the king would have to go, oh, shit, I can't lose face. So they'd all go off and batter each other and kill each other. It was fantastic. But the thing about the Last Kingdom is it really was, like, the 900th century or the 9th century.
Yeah.
You know, there was a quote, wasn't there, that, you know, guys...
You can't go chopping people's heads off. This is the 9th century or something like that.
Come on, lads. Yeah, this is the 9th century. Yeah. Get a grip.
Come on. You're better than that. And just like behead someone just like that. It's the 9th century. We're civilized. But it was brilliant. And I've really started looking into those characters, and because the kings were real, the Danes were real. Yeah. I won't remember any of their names now, but like, you know,
Ethelred and Ethelbert,
Knotbeard and blood hair and all these, and Uhtred was the main character, and all based on all these wars that actually happened in these battles and whatever.
Yeah.
Uhtred is the main character. Just the thing. That I overlooked it and I kept watching and I sort of said, look, that's just one of these things that's going to happen. The fucking Uhtred, every time he came back, he did something brilliant. So this character Uhtred would do something brilliant and he'd win like a battle and he'd kill somebody. He'd come back to the king and be like, yeah, fucking brilliant. And then some guy would go in and say, ah, Uhtred, you're only a cunt. And Uhtred would kill him, right? And then the king would go, oh, you did something brilliant, but now you've just killed somebody in court and he's a priest. So now I'm going to have to hang you. And I sentence you to death. God, so every season he was almost sentenced to death.
Yeah.
Like hung, drawn, and quartered almost, like gets a stay of execution at the last second from some randomer, and then goes and does something brilliant again and wins the war. And that's like that's the arc of the story, isn't it? Like, yeah.
And literally every episode was a smaller arc of that. It was like,
yeah,
they're in the shits.
And even within that, yeah.
We're in the shits, lads. And the group of lads around him. Come on, we'll go and fight for this. I don't really want to fight for that, but we will anyway, because we will follow you, Uhtred. And he goes off on a campaign solo, and they all turn up. And all of a sudden, like an army would turn up for no apparent reason. Where are we going to meet you? Oh, in that field over there. How the fuck did they know where the field was? It was like, yeah, we're going to meet you in this field by the trees. We'll take them. And they're just about like, they'll be surrounded by Vikings or Saxons or whatever.
Just you know, about to be.
Insert baddie here.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
going
to be slaughtered. And some other lads who were anti the baddies would turn up and go, for Uhtred.
And then he wouldn't know. I was like, how does he know? Sometimes he'd be fighting with Vikings against other Vikings. Sometimes he'd be fighting with the Saxons against Vikings, and some of the other Vikings would join the Saxons, but there'd be other Saxons with the Viking. Like,
how would you know? Had the same haircuts. It was like, how do they know the lads on the horseback when they're coming in slaying people? Who do they know they're not slaying?
Lashing everybody out of it. It doesn't matter.
I like the fact that the priests could ride all around them and kill people, though.
The priests were just into drinking and riding, and then the odd baptism, and maybe a bit of marriage. And then they'd offer some advice. But life was cheap, and you could get killed. People are being killed all over the place. You know, if you think Game of Thrones is bad, like there's nothing like The Last Kingdom for killing people off. Main characters.
Is it controversial to say that I liked it more than Game of Thrones?
No, I don't think so. I can't say I liked it more. I liked it as much.
Hmm.
I felt like it didn't have...
Dragons, but it was a much cleaner storyline. You know, you kind of... you could dip in and out without being confused. Because Game of Thrones, if you walked away from that for 3 weeks, you'd never fucking Scooby-Doo what's going on.
Yeah, it was easier to understand who was from what family or what court or what king they worked for. Or whatever. That was a lot cleaner. There was less people involved, less family involved, less countries involved, less languages to understand. But so I just thought it was. I think also it was kind of like, you know, the start of each season, Uhtred to be like somewhere like living in his gaff, just doing nothing all day, just riding and drinking, and you know, and then someone to come over and go, you need to, someone's been beheaded, you need to get back, the king needs you for something urgently. He's like, but the king hates me. Yeah, but he doesn't hate you anymore, he needs you. He's decided to forget about the time he shot the priest or stabbed the priest, and all is forgiven, come back. And then he has to say goodbye to the woman he's riding and go back.
Yeah, and then he leaves them unguarded. You know what's going to happen? 3 episodes away, they're all going to be slaughtered by a load of flats.
Yeah.
Some of the baddies, insert baddies here.
Yeah, they'll ride into his town. Kill everybody. And he did so much for the king. Like, you know, literally.
Alfred, I will spare to Alfred. And this is the daughter.
Saved his baby child who went on to become king, right. And literally saved his kingdom. Like
his daughter, he got shafted though at every time.
He was the king was so much in debt to him, but the king didn't really. The king would be like really nice, and he'd be like, "Man, it'd be like me saying to you, Mike, that was really great. Like Jesus Christ, man, you really got me out of a hole there, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm fucking going to kill you now." Anyway,
worse, I'm going to send people to kill you when you've done something good for me again. Yeah,
I need to save face. I can't be seen loving you so much for doing something brilliant. I have to take an eye out of your head.
Yeah, you're not baptized. That was great. The eye, I've heard the eye. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He was a little shit, that fella.
Little dick.
But very good though.
Oh, great, great, great character and great actor. That's the next recommendation. The Last Kingdom. Yes. Check it out.
Check.
Check it out. Please do feel free to recommend anything. I sometimes forget that it's a podcast, Mike, that we're doing. But if you're listening now and you want to recommend something to us and send us a little synopsis, you can email. What's the name of the podcast as well? I think it's Keith Walsh Podcast. So it's keithwalshpod@gmail.com. I remember.
There you go.
You can email us. Next recommendation, Mike.
So I went then to another binge fest. Something that people have recommended to me, and it's always come up, and I just thought I don't have the time for it, and I don't know. I just something about the way it came across the screen on Netflix. I thought I don't fancy it. Money Heist.
Okay.
Brilliant. Spanish.
Okay.
Brilliant.
How many
beautiful people. 10 episodes.
10 episodes, one series.
That's it. Job is a good one.
Okay, well, that's a nice size.
Yeah, it is a nice size.
Manageable.
Perfect.
Give us a little sort of like, set it up for us. I get that it's a money heist.
Yeah, but you see, that's the perfect thing about it. It's like Ocean's 11 should have been. It's a really, really clever version of Ocean's, whatever it was at 12 or Ocean's 11, the initial one, when they got a group of people together, but they stayed in a house for 5 months and studied what they were going to do. So it kicks off from that. And the guy that's leading it he's just fucking fat. Every time somebody does something, he's thought about it. So it's just, it's brilliant. And then you get humanity and love and everything in the middle of it. It's just, you just can't see things happening to him. And it's like, oh, Jesus, they're all going to get caught. I don't know. Oh, yeah, it's very, really, really good.
Stressful watch or?
Stressful-ish, yeah. I had to break it down into sort of half-hour episodes. It was a bit kind of like, just need to relax down for a minute because I think he's not going to get, I think we're not going to make it.
Not going to make it.
Left.
And so not like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels or...
No. Clever, really clever television. Real good drama. Beautiful people. Some not so beautiful people, but you know, sort of really, it's good. It touches everything. Really, really nicely done.
Mm. Do you think it's based on a true like real life, or do you think that kind of world exists where there's people in Spain or France, planning big heists and, you know, to rob.
Robbing and heists have been there. You know, the lads who did the jewelry robbery in London, you know, that those things have been around since people started keeping things in safes.
Since Uhtred.
Since Uhtred, yeah, because we will go and you will take the silver. Yeah. But I did not promise you the silver. I'm Uhtred. It was my destiny. I've started watching Vikings Valhalla as well.
Okay, yes.
But can't... Watch the first one. The accents are all over the shop. Some of them are like Dutch people. So it's like, hello, would you like to buy some weed off me? Because you can't really take them seriously.
Yeah.
And the English king is the Irish doctor that was in Ballykiss Angel, who, since he was on Ballykiss Angel, is on every medical advert in this country since. So if you've got a sore arse, you know, the fellow that does the voiceover...
John Bosco Hogan, I think, is the actor.
Bosco Hogan. Join up to the VHI today. And now he's the King of England in the 12th century or whatever. It's just...
Can I say something to you? This is not a spoiler, but he doesn't last long. So you
good. Banking on that. You did say that, but I'm kind of banking on him not surviving.
Yeah, it's hard. I tell you what, it's hard to make the... Because I watched the Last Kingdom first, and then I went into... Then I was looking for something, so then I went into Vikings Valhalla. But you do get into it. It's different. There's a different pace to it. There's almost like a disappointment because it's not what you were watching. You know that?
Yes. So
it's not its fault, if you know what I mean. You're just like, it's not the other thing, but it'll do. But actually, it's quite good. And they've only made one series. So it's not like with The Last Kingdom, we had five...
I know.
To get through, and I fucking binged that. I was sneaking off. Like, I was on my lunch break here working from home. I'd watch an episode, you know. But I liked it. And now I've started watching Barbarians.
Oh.
So Barbarians is the Romans and the Germans. They called them Barbarians, the German clans, gangs, whatever they were called. Okay. Like, because Germany wasn't a country, it was just a lot of chieftains and what would they call them? What do they call the Reich? I think they call
are they the Reich? No,
yeah. What do they call Hitler? The
Führer.
The Führer. I think they were all like Reichs and Führers and all that kind of stuff. Like almost like chiefs, and like we would call in Ireland like chiefs and
how's it going, chief?
chief. But yes, the barbarians and the Romans and how they kicked the Romans out of that part of the world.
So what's that on? Is that on Netflix?
That's on Netflix as well, yeah. Now the problem with that is it's dubbed. I don't love the dubbing.
No.
And it gives it, because some of the accents are American and it's great. Like, it's perfect when they have their own voices, because some parts are subtitled because they're talking Italian. But they've obviously decided to change. I presume it was filmed originally in German, maybe. So they changed the German into so the Germans are all kind of American-y, like the Dutch accent you were talking
about,
that kind of thing. And it's dubbed, so it's not quite the same. It doesn't look the same. But the Italian bits are great because it's like real authentic and it's real their voice, and they're like, you know, really pissed off Italian.
Tried to change so you can get it as sort of
subtitles? I probably can. Can I be honest with you? I didn't notice it was subtitled for a while. I was like, the acting is this is shit, but I'll stick with it. It's like very fucking.
It's like this 1970 toothpaste adverts.
Yeah, like really, but it was really wooden acting. I was like, Jesus, it's weird. Like the voices aren't matching their. You know. It's just... Oh God! But that's another one, Barbarians. Like I just gotten into this place. This whole.
Historically that, type.
Yeah. But it's fascinating because it does. Then you do end up on Wikipedia going, and who was that person, and where was that, and all that kind of stuff. So
you know, man,
I'm learning all the time.
Yeah, life is every day is a school day.
Every day is a school day, man.
Yeah.
Give me something. Okay.
Podcast wise.
Oh wow! Okay, great.
Mr. James O'Brien interviewing Omid Jalali.
Oh, loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
A treat for everyone out there. What else? Ooh.
How would people know Ahmed Jalali, if just in case they haven't?
He's a very self-deprecating Iranian fattish man with a real London accent.
Yeah.
And you might see him on all manner of like stand-up programs, you know, like Saturday, not that Saturday, what's that, Live at the Apollo and whatever?
Yeah.
He comes on and he can get away with saying pretty much anything. And he also does accents of people, like sort of, he looks Arabic. So he kind of does that. Oh, what did you put? And he gets away with doing angry Arabs, like, but angry Arabs, not like Ayatollahs, just like getting fleeced in a taxi sort of thing. The everyday angriness, but put in
Iranian taxi driver stuff or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very good. But he's been in lots of films as well.
Yeah, he's done quite well in Hollywood. He was in the Mummy.
He was in the Mummy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
it was a really good interview. He's a really good character, really. Really reminds me of John Gottenumau.
Alexei Sale.
Alexei Sale.
The two of them are very similar. Yeah.
The dog is. The dog is like, stop dancing on my master's testicles in his sleep, you bastard. He's just having a go at the cat. So that's a good one. James O'Brien, great podcast, great interview.
Yes.
Did you mention the other one, the Scottish dude? We haven't mentioned him on the podcast.
Alan Cummings,
that was really good.
Brilliant. That's kind of hard, not a hard listen, but really sad life. I've heard him being, was that on, that was Desert Island Discs, was it? Or was it with...
He did Desert Island Discs, but I think he did something else.
Yeah, Desert Island Discs was a kind of a light version of his life.
But I definitely heard a version of some of that interview before. And I remember, and the most poignant part of that was he grew up, I don't want to spoil the interview, but his father was was a cunt and violent and psychologically manipulative and the gamekeeper and all this kind of stuff and didn't particularly like his children, it seems. But as adults, himself and his brother went back to confront the father. And what they did was they rocked up to his house and they all went for a walk and they basically said everything to the dad and they had it out and they're like, this, you were this and you were that and you're that, you know, and they just didn't fucking engage, didn't really say anything, didn't disagree, didn't agree, whatever. And basically at the end of that conversation, they kind of said, look, we just needed to have that out. He did say at one point he thinks he might have been kind of welling up or close to tears or emotion, but he didn't break. He said, look, we're interested in us all being, you being in our lives, we'd be okay with that if you are interested in doing the work and, you know, whatever that took, whether it be like therapy or whatever. And he just fucking, he just blanked them, didn't say anything, and they never really spoke again. That was it. And he didn't.
Yeah. You were expecting this sort of like, and then, you know, he came to my kid's communion or,
Yeah, he called me one day and.
Yeah, out of the blue. No, fucking never even, ever missed a beat. Just fucked off into the distance. They took him to places and said, this is what you did here. This is what you did there.
Mm.
This is where you hit me. This is where you hit me the first
time. This is where you shaved my head with the sheep shears because my hair was too long.
Yeah, because I was looking kind of camp or whatever and trying to be in, you know, in the starlight. And this way you beat the shit out of me. And
took me down a notch. But I wonder, part of me is like, maybe there's people out there who just hate their kids and they're like totally cool with that. And just like, nah, just fucking hate those guys. and actually like feel like they're right. Yeah, well, they were little pricks anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of the time why we have social services.
Yeah.
People just can't get to grips with. You know, not everyone is good at being a... You think that everybody is going to naturally kind of nurture something.
Mm.
But, you know, you see it in people with animals. They're going to treat a fucking dog like that. They're hardly going to treat a child better, are they?
But then you look at... That's the thing, because in every family, there's somebody comes along and there's the opportunity to change that, the passing from trauma along the family line. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you know that dad is only... acting the way he's been taught or reacting to how he was treated and passing it on. And I mean, that's the wonderful thing, especially listening to someone like Alan Cumming, because you're like, he was the guy and his brother in that family that said, no,
we're
the generation that we're not going to pass it on anymore. We're breaking the cycle, you know, which is wonderful. And just to have that strength to say, no, I'm not interested in being in your life anymore.
No, very deep. Because he was a journalist as well. He was all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, he started off writing for a teen pop magazine, and then got into writing the horoscopes or something, the horoscopes.
He always made them good. He always made them.
Yeah. He didn't want anyone to have a bad day. Something is in your anus, but it'll be fine.
Yeah, that'll be a pleasurable experience. It's being lubed by Pisces.
Oh, moon is in your anus, but it feels nice.
So in radio podcasty type stuff as well, I've let my BBC Sounds account just sort of develop, and it keeps recommending stuff to me, and every once in a while it comes up with something, and there's a program called Dead Hand on BBC. It's a BBC documentary.
On BBC Sounds.
Not a documentary. On BBC Sounds. It's a BBC play.
Oh.
And I was also addicted. I had my niece staying with me from Norway for a while, for about a month in the middle of COVID and everything. But she got addicted to the Graham Norton Holding.
Holding?
Yeah.
Has that been done as a radio play?
No. It's been done as a TV.
Okay.
On ITV. Very,
I didn't
very
know this.
A lot of characters. So it was a bit confusing. But we got through it. And with the help of her young mind telling us, myself and Sally Ann, who was who, we got through it. But the eunuch from
Game of Thrones,
the Northern Irish guy.
Yeah.
Was the main character in it, as well as Siobhan McSweeney, but he was the main guy.
No way.
And then I'm listening to this play, Dead Hand, on BBC, which is about a mass murderer in Northern Ireland, and his voice is coming through my headphones, and he plays an awful bastard, this thing. Like, so yeah, it was like, you know, everything was coming together, man. The universe was speaking.
Wow.
Conlon something, is it?
I can't remember his name.
His name is Conlon. He's got a weird name. Eunuch.
He was the eunuch. Yeah. I'm just trying to remember who. Oh, yes. The big guy, the bald-headed guy.
The bald-headed guy, yeah.
The
yeah.
monk character type. Yeah.
Who would give counsel to whatever.
Yeah, I remember. He was brilliant, actually.
I'm Googling it now. Bald eunuch.
Bald eunuch Game of Thrones.
There it is, and it's up, and it's... Oh. Varys.
Varys.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Conleth Hill.
Conleth Hill, yes. And he is a Conleth, isn't he?
Yes,
yeah.
Conleth.
I know.
C-O-N-L-E-F. L-E-T-H.
Conleth. That's COVID brain.
That is COVID. That's exactly it. Yeah, I'm having trouble spelling stuff and all sorts.
I don't know. I thought you spelled that beautifully. That's how they would have spelt in Saxon times.
They would, yeah.
He says, yes, my name is Conleth. Conleth. well, I've kind of forgotten. Oh, yeah. So Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
Are you up to speed with Ozark?
It's series four. I've watched the first seven, which were probably everything's going wrong again. And then like Marty puts himself under a little bit more pressure, and then somebody kills somebody else. It's like, it was the most stressful fucking television, but brilliant.
Yeah.
And now the last bit has dropped.
Yeah.
How many episodes?
I think it was seven and seven. No, was that
maybe? Yeah.
So this is like the last remaining of the last episodes of the last season ever of Ozark. And I've been watching already. I don't know if you're in.
It doesn't let up.
Straight into it. I don't know if you, very interesting. So the character Ruth.
Ruth Langmore.
Yeah, and she, and some of her family were very much involved. I won't give away spoilers, but
yes,
we left it where something bad had happened to her family. So she's very much in a central character when it picks up again. And she and her brother shared this love of hip hop, rap, American rap. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say West. Yeah, East. Anyway, Nas is a rapper. So he released an album. I'm going to say 1994. Jesus, I won't be able to find. I don't want to get these details wrong. Yeah. So Illmatic is an album by Nas. I don't know if you listen to a bit of rap, Mike, ever.
No.
Okay. Like, yeah. So he's got like, so in this, this is a seminal album called Illmatic. Tracks called like The Genesis, New York State of Mind, Life's a Bitch. So basically, when she's going about her business in her first, episode, she's listening. She's just got the headphones on.
Okay. Or
she got it on car. So it's just like, if you can imagine, it's kind of NWA ish. That's the sort of the style, 90s rap, you know. A brilliant album. And it's a really, for me, I was like, oh, I love this. I love the music. I love what's going on. I love what's happening. It was just absolutely brilliant. And Wendy and Marty are as mental as ever. Wendy is like the thing about her is like, and this explains sort of Ozark for me, is like the craziest shit in the world can be happening. Like there can be like a member of a drug cartel shooting some guy in the head, or some dude being held captive down a dungeon or something and being forced to listen to heavy metal music as, you know, someone's pissing on him, or something absolutely bonkers is just happening. And then it'll cut to Wendy at the sink peeling carrots for the dinner and then giving out, because dinner's at 7 and she's having a glass of wine and like they're setting the table.
Have you done your homework?
Just shot a guy. Well, I didn't have a chance to do my homework because I shot a guy in the chest and I had to clean that up. But I'll get to it later. Make sure you do. And she's like,
because it's family dinner tonight.
Family dinner.
It's like fucking nuts. Yeah, but
she's like gets pissed off because one of the kids isn't coming to family dinner. Marty, you need to say something to Jeb or whatever his name is. And he's like, oh, he's young. He's living his own life. He's making his own
cartel.
We all did that. He's just doing his thing. We were all, are you all right?
Yeah. I just get very windy.
You're going to fall over, Mike.
Windy.
We can wrap this up, Mike, because I think this is a lot to ask of you in your
I need to wrap it up at some point because my wife keeps ringing me.
Let's wrap it up. Let's do another one soon, really soon, and then we'll have much more to do.
I've got loads to do.
Okay, great. Well, hold on to that list. Don't do anything. Go see your wife. And I'll go see my in-laws, and we'll do this really soon. So either during the week or we'll definitely do it next weekend.
Okay. Yeah, and thanks for listening, you and the listener.
Yeah, thanks to everybody for listening. I thought he was talking to me. I was like,
I'm talking to you.
I was like, I wasn't really listening.
Nice to talk.
Yeah, I was listening, but I wasn't paying attention. I don't know what you said. I'm just clocking in, clocking out. This is just a job to me, Mike.
Actually, I know who you remind me of now. Steve Wright in his very early days, the DJ. Not his latter days.
Okay, good.
I hasten to add, I don't know if you've seen any pictures of Steve Wright in his latter days.
Has he been cancelled?
No.
Oh, no. Not definitely not. Okay.
Couldn't he cancel that fella?
Okay.
Less said about that, the better. Okay. Let's go, guy.
Let's check in again. Mind yourself, and I hope you feel better. Acupuncture is supposed to be very good for dealing with the after effects of COVID. I know you don't believe in that woo-woo, but try it.
I used to get acupuncture for my dog. I do believe in that woo-woo.
Oh, sorry.
The only thing that sort of rusty out.
I thought you were going to poo-poo my woo-woo. That's the name of my other podcast. Don't poo-poo my woo-woo.
Right
down, Mike. Mind yourself. Good talking to you. And best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Take care.
Take it easy.
Bye, man.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.